Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, March 21st, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Wharton says community projects being sponsored by the United States government are transforming the lives of Zimbabweans.
They all represent investment in the people of Zimbabwe. Food security is a huge issue. We're trying to move away from emergency delivery of food supplies to people.
The Public Affairs section of the United States Embassy in Harare is inviting applications for the next Students Achievers program.
The USAP application is out. We have been sending it to all A-level schools in the country. It's also up online on www.usapglobal.org, and the applications are due on April 7th.
Tonight, we speak to the son of the late former president of Zimbabwe, Kenan Banana.
As long as there's violence and insecurity, it's going to be hard to develop a better Zimbabwe. So there's need to improve if we are to move forward as a country.
And Nhlanhla Dube, the spokesperson of the MDC led by Welshman Ngobe, steps down. U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Wharton says community projects being sponsored by the United States government are transforming the lives of Zimbabweans. Mr. Wharton, who has been visiting some of the projects in Pinga, Matewa North Province, speaks to Studio 7 about these programs.
Yeah, we have a number of development projects in Pinga. Some of it's related to food security. We've worked with the World Food Program and the Lead Trust to fund citizens building dip tanks for cattle and dams for both the dip tanks and for irrigation. The idea there is that by creating these assets, people will better be able to deal with droughts that come. So that's a big project for us. Another thing that we looked at was education. We visited a public school, a secondary school, where we've helped build a dormitory for girls. We believe it's really important to make sure that kids, especially girls, can stay in school. We participated, represented in a jobs fair so that these high school students, school leavers, have some idea of what career options they've got, including the possibility of scholarships to attend universities in the United States, something called the U.S. Student Achiever Program. And we were also at a hospital, the Binga District Hospital, where we support work to help people living with HIV/AIDS, providing ART, antiretroviral therapy, and also work to fight tuberculosis and to support women and children, maternal and infant child care. So those are some of the things that we are looking at.
What is the possible impact of these programs, you know, on local communities?
You know, they all represent investment in the people of Zimbabwe. Food security is a huge issue. We're trying to move away from emergency delivery of food supplies to people and give them the tools they need, whether that's income generation or assets like irrigation systems and agricultural technology, so that they've got more resilience and can deal with climate change and drought. So that's a big focus for us. And I think that we saw literally concrete examples of progress there, building a dam, building an irrigation system and a drip tank. At the hospital, one of the big emphases there is patient management quality improvement, using electronic means to track patient records so that doctors and nurses and patients have the information they need very quickly. So I think that will support improved health care in Zimbabwe. And then, of course, education is foundational for the future of the country. You know, so we were able to donate some books, talk to the kids, give them some ideas about their future options. So I hope that strengthens those children's future as well.
How much financial aid has the U.S. government provided Zimbabwe this year? And is this direct or indirect aid?
Well, look, in 2014, provided about $160 million of assistance. Most of that was assistance to public health, about $125 million for public health, probably about $20 or $25 million in emergency humanitarian assistance, and the rest in smaller projects, including support for democracy, support for economic policy. Almost all of that aid is indirect. We try to coordinate very closely with the Ministry of Health, for example. We want to support Ministry of Health programs. We think they do a good job of having a national plan, but we provide that support through NGOs rather than directly to the Ministry of Health. So most of the aid is indirect.
That was United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Wharton speaking to Studio 7. The Public Affairs Section of the United States Embassy in Harare is inviting applications for the next Students Achievers Program. Program coordinator Rebecca Zikliamano speaks to Studio 7 about the new applications.
So the USAP application is out. We have been sending it to all A-level schools in the country. It's also up online on www.usapglobal.org. And the applications are due on April 7. They can be turned in Bulawayo, Gredu, Mutare, or Harare at any of the Education USA offices.
This time, how many students do you think are going to make it in terms of applying for these scholarships?
We are waiting on decisions right now. Decisions mostly come out next week. We already have 6 kids who've been accepted and fully funded, but we're waiting for most of the decisions to come out in the next 2 weeks for those going this year. For the applications we're putting out now, they are for upper 6 students in 2015, and we're looking for 35 top kids from all over the country, from all provinces.
So what criteria do you use in choosing students that end up making it to the United States?
USAP has 4 criteria. We're looking for academic excellence. We are looking for leadership potential. We are looking for demonstrated ethos of giving back to community. We're looking for economic disadvantage.
How can people access the applications?
The applications can be found from your secondary school. You can also get them at the Education USA offices, and you can download them online from usapglobal.org.
Now, we have places that are actually remote in Zimbabwe. So how best can students in those rural areas make it?
We're doing our best to reach the rural areas. We are using NGOs such as CAMFED and Save the Children to send out applications to the rural schools as well as the district education officers. But if any student hears this broadcast and they can talk to either an education office, to the headmaster, or to getting themselves to Bulawayo or to Gweru or to Mutare or to Harare, they can get their own application.
What are the main advantages of people getting U.S. education?
I feel it's a very broad education, and it will expose you to the latest technology, different ways of looking at the world, and lots of skills and knowledge that is very applicable back here. We right now have kids from many rural areas and urban areas in the U.S. who've come back to Zimbabwe and are working very effectively because of the U.S. education they gain.
To date, how many students have actually benefited from this program?
We've worked with over 400 students since the inception of USAP, and that started in the year 2000.
So now, what can you say about the impact of the program?
I feel like the program has actually made a big impact in a lot of communities.
That was USAP coordinator Rebecca Zikliamano speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
In this last edition of an interview with the son of the late former president of Zimbabwe, Kenan Banana, tonight we look at his relations with the government of Zimbabwe. Nathan Sipo Banana says he has nothing against the government of President Robert Mugabe, which jailed his father.
I have nothing against the president of Zimbabwe. Obviously, he has his faults and he has his strengths. Besides political violence being used, if we could overcome, if we fight political violence and eradicate it from our systems, we can start talking as Zimbabweans on equal terms without any need to instill fear in each other's arena. As long as there's violence and insecurity, it's going to be hard to develop a better Zimbabwe. So there's need to improve on all those areas if we are to move forward as a country.
Do you feel that you've got an obligation to carry on from where your father left?
Not really, because he had a responsibility which he felt passionately about. I've been involved in several projects myself. I've done volunteer, I've had an NGO in the UK where we're supplying school equipment to schools in Bulawayo, Marondera, and some in Harare. But due to the UK recession, I had to shut down that NGO because of lack of funding. I'm also involved in several projects in South Africa and Zimbabwe on the business front, which are still very small. I think we can all contribute in different forms. There's a lot of opportunity in Zimbabwe for those with access to capital. At the moment, I'm in Zim, and a lot of people are crying about having access to capital to expand their businesses. Those outside are fearful of the kind of environment in terms of security. But you can move around freely. There's several roadblocks around and everything else. But I think if you want to go into business or any business, you have to take risks. And I appeal to all the young people out there, those who are ready. I know most Diasporans have got young families, and they're concerned about leaving those young families and coming back home. I mean, it's not a case of forcing people to come back home, but if people can come and visit and just see what's happening on the ground on their own, we start building those bridges that I was talking about. But if we all shy away and we just hope for some politician or some special individual to come and save us, I don't see it happening anytime soon.
And perhaps my last question is concerning your political career. You are saying you are not going to be in politics?
I have an interest in developing Zimbabwe, making Zimbabwe better. I cannot say firmly that I will be in politics in the near future, but it will depend. Politics is about people. It will depend on people's choices. If people feel I'm ready for it, and if I feel I'm ready for it, maybe I will go into politics.
That was Nathan Sipho Panana, the son of former Zimbabwean President Kenan Panana, speaking with Studio 7. As promised yesterday, here is more on the resignation of former spokesman of the MTC led by Welshman Ncube Maslanhlanhla Dube, who has actually stepped down.
For the last 5 years or so, I've been engaged daily, hourly, on party programs, party processes, communicating party thoughts, processes, and everything that has been going on. And that has taken its toll. But I thought that I've also had the privilege, not only of being the spokesperson of the party, but also of being involved with the reunification conversations that happened. And as you'll be aware, that the greater part of the conversation around reunification with the MDC renewal team is led by Umamusekai Holland have been complete to a point where implementation teams are now, or implementation committees are now doing their work around the implementation process. And the Congress is earmarked for August this year. And it is at that Congress where a new leadership, which leads the United Party, is going to be elected and put in place. It was therefore my desire that having put in all that I have put in, it was time to step back to allow the processes of canvassing, if you like, to be done without any hindrance.
We hear of leadership squabbles in the party. Could this be one of the reasons why you are quitting?
Well, Ntungamili, I've always been a person in everything that I have done, whether in my role in leadership in private sector or my role in leadership in the public spaces where I've had the privilege of leading, I've always believed that one never burns bridges.
That was Nhlanhla Dube, former spokesman of the MTC formation led by Welshman Ncube. You are listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. And as usual, it's time now for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Nhlanga Nyahuye. On the Women's Forum tonight, we have the pleasure of speaking to the treasurer of the MDCT, Mrs. Teresa Makoni, who was on a visit here in Washington with the president of the MDCT, Morgan Tsvangirai. We caught up with Mrs. Makoni before she left for Zimbabwe and asked her about why she was in Washington for this visit. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Makoni.
Thank you very much for having me.
You are here in the United States. What's the purpose of your visit?
The purpose of our visit in the United States was, first of all, to touch base with our structures in the United States. We've got a very vibrant province of the United States, which is led by Denford Moyo. We were touching base with them after the Congress of 2014, and we were also meeting with our traditional friends that have supported our party since its formation in 1999.
And what would you say has been the response so far?
So far, the response has been one of, what would I say? I think they were relieved to know that we are still very much engaged with the original aims and values and principles of the party, that we had not given up and dispersed. And I think that this particular trip has been very valuable in regrounding our friends.
And also, Mrs. Marconi, you are now the treasurer of the MDCT. How is it like as a woman? Do you get the same respect that is afforded to other men that previously held this position as a woman?
Well, you know, I was a member of the standing committee for the last 7 years. And so I know exactly what kind of responses there were to my predecessors who were males. To be very honest with you, I think that women are given a higher bar to rise to, and you have to fight twice as hard in order to get the same amount of recognition. But that should not really deter me from doing my job. I think that eventually people will begin to accept that women can occupy these positions and acquit themselves just as well as men could.
And also, you were the Deputy Home Affairs Minister in the Unity government. How was that like for you as a woman?
Well, I was actually not deputy minister. I was a co-minister.
Ooh,
of
that's
Home
even
Affairs.
Bigger.
So we were both ministers with the equal responsibilities. That was actually a very good grounding for me in terms of my growth as a woman, because since the arrival of Cecil John Rhodes in Rhodesia, there has never been a woman Minister of Home Affairs. Mm-hmm. So I was the first woman Minister of Home Affairs. And I think that I acquitted myself very well, stood my ground when I had to, especially when it came to joint commissions with other countries. I think I stood and represented my party very well in those fora.
And for a woman out there, they may ask, who is Teresa Marconi? Can I be like her? She was core Home Affairs Minister. Now she's the treasurer of the MDCT. How do I rise up to be like Teresa Marconi? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your history.
Well, you know, it's not something that you set out to do as such, but you do find that you have a calling, and you examine yourself and you think, maybe I can't do it, maybe I can, but let me give it my best go. And usually when you present yourself to the people and pronounce yourself and present yourself adequately, they will give you an opportunity. And I must say that I have been very fortunate in the sense that I've been able to articulate where I stand. And so when people in the MDC meet me, they know what to expect. They know who I am. They know what I stand for, how much nonsense I can take or not take. And, you know, eventually people begin to accept you as you are. But I think for the majority of women, it is very important not to think about your educational qualifications, because that is not what gets you where you are, especially in politics. It is your sincerity. It is your honest service to the people. And one thing about politics is that if you present yourself properly, people can see through you. It's not what you say you can do. It's what you actually do. People measure you by what you deliver. And I think women should just have that confidence to present themselves, sell themselves adequately, and stand their ground. And they will find that they will have support across the gender divide.
Time is not on our side. Thank you, Mrs. Teresa Marconi, the treasurer of the MDCT, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Join me again next week when we'll look at other issues affecting women.
Thanks, Marvelous. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And now to recap today's top stories. U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Wharton says community projects being sponsored by the United States government are transforming the lives of Zimbabweans. And the public affairs section of the U.S. Embassy in Harare is inviting applications for the next Students Achievers program. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.